little premature there on my exit. I was looking at the wrong count down there, but we have another half hour to go. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue here. We got to chapter 9 and verse 1, so we'll just continue in our historical account of a historical account of David's rule in Israel as sole king. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar." And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said to him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba to the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame in both his feet. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came to the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, "Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and overthrow it?" Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to the buttocks, and sent them away. Then they told it unto David. He sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, "Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return." And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah 20,000 footmen, and the king of Maacah 1,000 men, and of Ish-tob 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the hosts of the mighty men, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. and the Syrians of Zobah, and Rehob, and Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind. He chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, "If the Syrians be too strong for me, then shalt thou help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. For the Lord do that which seemeth him good." And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon, and came unto Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarezer, this is a similar name, not Hadadezer, it's Hadarezer, sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river, and they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the hosts of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots, the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians, and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their hosts, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to the Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel. Good idea. It served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sat and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. David's mistake. I mean, it's one thing. David was not in battle. David, I mean, that's the note we get here, that it was the time of battle, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David was not where he was supposed to be. That's mistake number one. And what do you do when you have idle time and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? Well, that's time to get into trouble. And David got into trouble. Temptation came upon him. Nothing wrong with seeing a beautiful woman, except this beautiful woman was taking a bath, and rather than focusing on her, he should have turned his eyes away from her. That was mistake number one. Mistake number two, well, was inquiring of her, and perhaps that's not such a great sin. But when he heard that it was the wife of Uriah, then he should have paid attention to the law of God, because adultery is a terrible sin in the eyes of our God. And I'm a single man because my late wife died, and my first two wives ran off because they were wicked and they did wickedly. And so I'm here without a wife, without a helpmeet, even still having children to deal with and a household to take care of, not to mention working full-time in my ministry and the other things that I have to do. And I'm looking for a wife. And where do I look for a wife? Well, the internet today is the place to look if you can't find one near you. And I can't find one near me. None are knocking on my door. I don't work with any women because I work in my own place. So I go on the internet and to so-called Christian sites. And I say so-called Christian sites because I believe that most of the women on there are not really Christians. And I think about this often, what David did here. And it's very important to me that before I consider a woman, that I find out about her past. Is she lawfully divorced? Now, I don't care if she's got a piece of paper from the state saying she's divorced. I care about, is she lawfully divorced according to the law of God? What, did she leave her husband unlawfully? Did she commit adultery? Did she have a lawful cause, or did her husband abandon her? Or if she did leave her husband, did she repent, and when she repented, seek to be reconciled to her husband, and then was rejected or freed by him? Because if he rejects her, if a woman leaves her husband, then seeks, as the scripture says, Paul says, remain single or be reconciled to your husband. That's what we have from Paul. And here we're getting back into the whole betrothal, marriage, and divorce thing, which is a special focus of mine. Having done and studied these things, I pay special attention to them when they come to the front as we're going through the scripture, and this is coming to the front here. So when I have occasion and I'm on the internet and looking for a wife and considering all these women, I find that most of them have to be rejected, even though they're attractive and they seem like good prospects for a wife. Some of them very young and very beautiful, but none of that matters to me. I'd rather have an ugly, faithful woman than a beautiful, unfaithful woman. I'd rather have an ugly woman that honors the law of God than the most beautiful woman and the most prosperous woman that dishonors the law of God or has no regard for it, has left her husband for a light reason. And I talk to them and I find out, and that's the first thing I find out, are they lawfully separated from their husband? Is their separation from their husband a lawful reason? Are they free, in other words, from their husband? And if they're not, I don't want nothing to do with them because the law of God is before my eyes. And the law of God is what I use to separate, well, the sheep from the goats when it comes to finding a mate. And I find out that on most of these so-called Christian sites that they are mostly goats. Be careful, men. That's all I've got to say. It would be better for you to remain single than to have a goat in your midst. It would be much better. And yes, I'm still separating the sheep from the goats and looking for a good woman. And a hard thing to find. And we'll see what the Lord has for me. Like I said, I would rather be single and do the work of the Lord because I know that He can prosper me in ways that I cannot be prospered in the flesh. So though I am a man and I have the desires of a man, and it would be nice to have a helpmeet because I have so much work to do here that I really do need help. At least I think I do. And he said it himself. It's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And yes, he gave me a good one, but she died. For whatever reasons, he allowed that all to happen and come about. But I'm still here to do his will and his work every day of my life. Regardless, I will work with what he gives me. So anyway, considering these things, David should have had the law of God before his eyes, but the temptation was strong upon him, and we should never underestimate the temptation. We should always seek to have temptation. As Yahshua, Jesus, said, he said, if thy eye cause thee to offend, pluck it out. In other words, he's saying, don't allow your eyes to set you up to fall. Whatever it is that would cause you offense is to remove it from your sight and get it out of your life. And watch out for occasions. Be wise in the way you walk. Don't walk into an occasion where you will be tempted and overcome, because we are just men. You know, take heed where you stand, lest you fall. And I am just a man. I am not so prideful that I think I'm all that I think I've reached some state of sinless perfection and I can't fall. I don't ever want to reach the point where I stand in my own pride. Let me be proud of the work that God is doing in me. Let me be proud that it's His staff that I'm leaning upon. And sometimes I have to catch and call out for His hand as I'm falling down. And let me, oh, absolutely, immediately, if I fall, immediately call out for Him to pull me back up, because He is faithful. He will. But like I said, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation. And we can use that in context here for David. There is no temptation except such as is common to man. We need to keep that in the front of our eyes. I could fall like David fell, because all temptation is common, but God is faithful, who with every temptation makes a way of escape. Let us learn to always look for the escape when we're tempted. And let us learn that, yes, we can be so overwhelmed because of what we are by temptation that we lose sight of looking for a way of escape. And we need to wholly rely on our Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, and the imputed righteousness of Yahshua, our Messiah. But let us continue here with all that in mind. It came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof, and he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look at. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And as soon as he heard wife, he should have said, shut it off, walked away from it. It would be adultery. I can't even allow myself to be tempted any further. Unfortunately, that is not what happened. Unfortunately for David. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came unto him, and he lay with her. Now, David sent messengers and took her. Now, the implication here is force. He took her by force. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah to the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto David, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house, and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they told David, saying, Uriah went not down to his house, David said to Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to thine house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to mine house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And oh boy, that's a rebuke for David too. Not that Uriah would have any intentions of rebuking the king, but the rebuke is there for David, who was tarrying in Jerusalem when he should not have been taking his leisure. And of course, the trouble that followed. So David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also till and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." Treachery. How could, you know, this man, after God's own heart, be so blinded? It's a warning to all of us. Let us never become so careless to think that we could not fall. May his Holy Spirit remind us of what we are when we need to be reminded of what we are, that we don't fall like David. Yes, I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart, but I do not want to fall like David fell, so that he committed adultery, blinded by the passion of his flesh, blinded by that temptation, blinded by idleness when he should have been busy about the Lord's work. Yes, there's a time to relax, but you don't take a vacation in the middle of a battle while everyone else is battling. You get weary to the bone just like they get weary to the bone. You rest like they rest, as Uriah the Hittite proclaimed and exclaimed to David. So just one thing after another, and now it's murder. It's idleness, falling for the temptation, adultery, and now murder. He puts him in the front of the battle. He plans the death of a man. And we'll end it there today. You've been listening to Cross the Border. We'll see you next time. So as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.